Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, first of its kind, framework will be embed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island values in GP training. Look, it's talking about values, ways of being and doing will be embedded in GP education training Australia-wide with a new framework being implemented by the Royal Australian College of GPs. That's RACGP. And with that, we're going to talk to Dr. Olivia O'Donoghue, National Clinic Head of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Training at RACP, and got her online. Dr. Olivia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we are students for life, are we not?
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Mobs for life, students for life.
Exactly. And look, I'm so excited to hear about this. We're talking first of its kind framework to be embed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island values in GP training. And thanks to Royal Australian College of GPs, this is now going to be in the education system, yes?
Yes, definitely. So all GPs in training right across Australia will be privy to everything that's in the framework, which includes cultural education, cultural safety training, being part of a community of practice, and my favourite part is creating spaces for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander GPs to thrive.
Fantastic.
And become leaders in this space as well.
Fantastic. So everything starts with a conversation. Everything starts with a thought. Yeah, beginning's half done. How did this come about? What communication was done with First Nation people to make this a part of the training? Tell us the journey, please.
Yeah, so I identify as Young Kunajara with Grandmother Connections to Narunga Nations, and I've worked as a GP and a cultural educator and medical educator in general practice training for over 10 years now.
Good, good.
And I came in to work at the college in 2020.
Yes.
After having a very passionate career in cultural education and medical education, and was asked to help consult on the move from back to college-led training. And as part of that consultation, myself and our senior cultural educator, Marlene Drysdale, really spoke to lots of people when we realised we needed something bigger than just a discussion paper on college-led training. We really wanted to embed a really robust, comprehensive cultural and health training framework in the way in which we deliver Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health and cultural training and cultural safety training to all GPs, but also what are the enhanced opportunities to work in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health and specialise, because we know everybody needs to do this work, because you don't, it doesn't matter where you work, you're going to see Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander patients. But we also want to create spaces for people who want to specialise in this work as well.
Yeah. Dr. Olivia, I see this as a game changer, but also a bridge builder, you know. And this is for all GPs who are in training. They get to do this work as well as part of their education, their degree as such. And that's got to be a win-win for all involved, yes?
Yes, definitely. I love that you said game changer and bridge builder because this framework is really guided by 12 principles, and those 12 guiding principles are really about acknowledging the sovereignty of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and working towards leadership and equity for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people within the consultation process. And also looking at how we can decolonize, deconstruct and reconstruct our training program so that it's enhanced using Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander values and ways of knowing, being and doing so that we can embed them into enhance the training program for everybody, not just for our mob. Because we think if you do business in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health right, then you do health right for everybody in our community. So we're really, really passionate about that. We also looked at having a real strengths-based approach, using trauma-informed approaches in the way that we do business and the way that we design our education program. And also looking at how do we eliminate racism, whether it be systemic racism within our processes or whether it be interpersonal or even intrapersonal racism. How can we minimise the impact of that within our system and make mob feel strong who come through our system as well?
Dr. Olivia, pardon the punt, but this is good medicine.
It's the best medicine.
It is the best medicine. Exactly, exactly. And we're talking about Indigenous or non-Indigenous practitioners getting trained up. There's the education as well in that space, you know. And then when a GP then gets transferred or gets an opportunity to work in First Nation communities, for example, they've virtually got a foot in the door. They're virtually a part of the community with the education. Knowledge is power, is it not?
Yeah, and we're creating more and more opportunities for our trainees to work in the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service as well as in any government-run Aboriginal medical services as well, so that we've got more training opportunities for more people to dip their toes in a really supported way that's good for them but is also safe for communities as well. So we really want to work with those medical services who want to have general practice training in their spaces to make sure that it's safe and works for them as well.
Exactly. Dr. Olivia, I also see this as an opportunity. Well, it's a fantastic platform that then entices young Indigenous students finishing grade 12 an opportunity to go into becoming a doctor because of what's in place, what's on the platform. This is a draw card.
Part of our pipeline yarn is all about how can we make a career as a health professional and a doctor more visible to our youth and our children and introduce them to role models and supporters and mentors who can support them through this pathway as well. What I'm really passionate about is workforce equity for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander doctors. I've been working in this space for a really long time, and every time we have a new GP trainee get their fellowship and become a fully fledged GP, it just makes me cry. I feel like a mama bear.
And good on you.
And it's just, it makes my heart sing.
Yes.
And being part of people's journey to that, and then seeing their children and their children's children look up to role models who are doctors and general practitioners is just amazing. I mean, we need that in all the health professions.
We do.
And we've still got a long way to go to get to workforce equity across all the health professions, especially in medicine, doctors and GPs.
Well, beginning's half done, so this is fantastic. And once again, congratulations. And success breeds success. And this platform will create that as such. And, look, thank you very much for your yarn, Dr. Olivia, and all the best to your team. And to all our future doctors out there, there is a beautiful platform here. And let's get it together. Dr. Olivia, thank you so very much.
Yeah, well, I have a wonderful team and lots of medical educators out there who identify. So if you meet them, just give them a shout out and ask them about our framework. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Olivia, all the best to you. Take care. Keep smiling. We'll yarn soon.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Bye. Beautiful yarn. Dr. Olivia O'Donoghue is her name, National Clinic Head of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Training, RACGP. and that's the Royal Australian College of GPs. Look fantastic. They're including in their training, first of its kind framework will be embed Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander values in GP training. So as you get your doctor degree, you also will be studying Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander values. That's a part of the curriculum, isn't that deadly? Have you seen Yanup Strong? Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bunbury Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yanup Strong, your mob. National Talk Black, too deadly.
The story's right, the story's true. I would not tell lies to you, like the promises they did not keep, and how they fenced us in like sheep. Said to us, come take our hand, set us up on mission land, told us to read, to write and pray. Then they took the children away, took the children away, the children away. Snatched from their mother's breast, said this is for the best, took them away. Welfare and the Holy Spirit said you've got to understand. We'll give to them what you can't give. Teach them how to really live. Teach them how to live, they said. Humiliated them instead. Taught them that and taught them this. And others taught them prejudice. You took the children away. The children away. Breaking their mother's heart, caring us all about, took them away. One dark day on Framlingham, came and didn't give a damn. My mother cried, go get their dad. He came running, frightened. Mother's tears were falling down. Dad shaped up and stood his ground. He said, you touch my kids and you fight me. Then they took us from a family, took us away. They took us away. Snatched from our mother's breast, said this is for the best, took us away. Set us up again and gave us gifts to ease the pain. Sent us off to foster homes. As we grew up, we felt alone, cause we were acting white yet feeling black. One sweet day, all the children came back. The children came back. The children came back where their hearts grow strong, back where they all belong. The children came back, said the children came back. The children came back where they understand, back to their mother's land. The children came back. Back to their mother, back to their
National Talk Black.
Alone in the shadows, I fill my glass again. I toast to tomorrow while I dread the morning. As my eyes fill the room, I long the scent of you. Now I howl at the moon and I quench my thirst. A head full of gin. Your feeble accusations have sucked me right in. Though I tried to explain, my defense was all in vain. Now I howl at the moon and I quench my. Quench my thirst for you.
Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service, Yarn Up Strong Your Mob, to Delhi. All right, yes, it happened in Canberra. We're talking Converge Canberra 2024, and that's First Nation Media Conference, and that went down really well, and we're going to catch up with Yana and talk about that space. Here we are in this industry, and very excited to be in this industry. We're going to talk to the CEO of First Nation Media Australia. We have Wally Tallis on the line. Wally, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good morning, my brother, and thank you very much to BBM for inviting me on your show. Too deadly.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much. Before we start, Cuss, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Wally.
Western Island of the Torres Straits, got connections to St. Paul's, Mauer and Mobiag, plus got extended family connection to the Birriggubba people around Townsville and Eyre and Bowen there, brother. So got big family mob there.
Big family mob. Fruit salad. Big shout out to all your mob. Fantastic, brother. Let's talk about this fantastic conference, Converge on Canberra 2024, that happened a couple of weeks ago now. A good turn-up of First Nation media. Tell us how the conference went, brother.
Yeah, first on the turnout, brother, we had, first time ever we had 100 of our brothers and sisters from all across the nation, First Nations broadcasters, producers, you know, just general people in our multimedia sector. So, you know, from all parts of Australia, remote, urban, regional, mob from Western Australia, NT, South Australia, all come together and converged on Converge in Canberra to come together. So, you know, very, very, very successful turnout.
Mm.
And, you know, for us, the most important thing was having our mob there to connect and,
yes.
And come together and have that voice. So, you know, it was inspiring to see so many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander brothers and sisters from all around Australia.
Look, media is a voice for our people, and it's how we communicate with our mob, whether it be here we are on radio, whether it be print, whether it be TV, NITV. It is a very powerful vehicle as such, and it's great that we have a black space, and so we should on the Big Island, Australia. So the importance of having a black media is so important, is it not, Wally?
Yeah, definitely. Like you just touched on, just the voice of our people, but so many other things. We're an employment agency, and many of these remote communities, we're a hub where community can go to. We're an opportunity for upcoming artists to express themselves and record. And, you know, your Baker Boys, they come through First Nations media. And,
yes.
You know, this is the opportunity to have that. And, but more importantly for our non-Indigenous listeners, it's about wonderful, the ability to connect with the wider Australia and for them to appreciate our culture and to talk about the positive things that happen through our lives. You know, a lot of the mainstream media, unfortunately, are always reporting on the negative stuff.
Well, exactly.
And that's not what our culture is about. So First Nations media is about that. They're also about preserving language and celebrating our culture. So, you know, it's an important part of community broadcasting and the wider broadcasting sector. But, you know, also, too, you touched on the voice. You know, last year, whatever that referendum says, I've been saying to people for a long time, we've had voices in media for over 30, 40 years.
Yeah, thank you, yes.
And it's important to talk about local issues. You know, governments need to understand that engaging with local people around local issues is important and how the best outcomes can achieve.
Mm.
And First Nations people are a part of this wonderful place we call Australia.
Exactly.
Whether it's disability people, women or whatever, First Nations people. And the media plays an important role in making sure that we bring those stories to light. We celebrate our culture, but we also have those difficult conversations, and that's the role First Nations media must play, and it's important that we survive.
So true, so true. Now, here we are sitting in the 21st century, 2024. The conversation down there, one of the conversations was digital inclusion. What does that mean for the sector?
Well, unfortunately, in Australia 2024, we still don't have every part of Australia connected and digitised.
True,
we've got
true.
People who don't have TV connectivity, and, you know, we've got all these transformers, so it's the strength of the government that they've identified that, and they've invested in making sure that all parts of Australia, where our, you know, black and white brothers and sisters are there, and making sure that they are connecting in Wi-Fi, and, you know, having the opportunity to, you know, I don't do it myself around TikTok and that, but having that social media platforms to stay connected, making sure people have accessibility to get employment and promote their business, so... you know, digital inclusion is about that. It's about making sure that we have all parts of Australia connected, and there's parity. We shouldn't in 2024 have a country as rich as we are with the resources we got, not having people from all across Australia connected through a digital platform. And so, I commend the government for investing. I think it's over $68 million just in the First Nations space to make sure we've got digital inclusion and training our mob up. But it's so important, and
of course it is.
You know, it's part of that parity and prosperity that First Nations people need and, should I say, deserve.
And look, First Nation Media Association call for action. What are the key calls for action for Indigenous media, my brother?
Yeah, well, we got 10 of them. We just talked about digital inclusion, but the main ones really are about, unfortunately, our media sector for over 20 years now has not even had indexation. All Australians are feeling cost of living pressures, but so are our businesses. So we haven't had any raise or increase. So when we call about additional funding, it's not about more funding. It's about it's actually about putting our funding on parity and on equal to what the rest of our mainstream broadcasters are getting in regards to indexation. So funding is one of it. Employment, we play a big part in regards to making sure our mob get jobs. There's training needs we're calling for. Digitisation, like we just discussed, was one of the other calls for action. And otherwise, we're at infrastructure investment. You know yourself from working in multimedia and the technology. We've got an advancing digital economy where technology is changing. You know, what are we up to now? iPhone 15, I still got that iPhone 6 and 7.
Yeah, gotcha. So exactly.
Technology. We just turned off 3G.
So we're talking about all the devices and everything like that. We've got to be front and center. We've got to be up with, well, white media, mainstream media.
100%.
Exactly.
And that's the message of what First Nations. We don't ask for more. We ask to come to the starting line.
Yeah.
And that's important. Like, it's a fair go for all Australians.
Fair
that's what I was raised up to be. And we've got to do. And, you know, these call for actions are straightforward things. You know, we need the capital investment. We need the infrastructure. We need the funding. We need to control our broadcasting. A lot of people understand under a community broadcast license, you're only allowed to advertise for 5 minutes. Is that enough to make us sustainable? We want to be self-empowered. We don't want to be sitting there asking government for money all the time.
Yes, exactly.
So how do we actually start changing the broadcasting license? Well, we're getting wonderful sponsors, what you have at your radio station, to keep us viable, to promote them. It's a win for the sponsors. It's a win for us.
Well, exactly. So we're not talking about a handout here, a hand up. If we've got the money to run the sector, so to speak, the sector itself becomes a financial vehicle. It can make its own money, can it not?
It can, and that's exactly what it's about. But it also benefits things. Like, you look at the closing the gap agenda. How many times do we have people in community who really don't understand it? It's not black and white thing. We don't know half the time what government's talking about.
Yeah.
That's the vehicle by which First Nations media, who connects locally. You've got a local product, Cairns-based, services that region. All those wonderful people there, black and white, who listen to your radio station, they need to be informed, and that's what community broadcasting is about. If we lose that, we're going to just stick with the big four. We don't want that.
No, we don't want that. Exactly. My brother, Dele Yanuki, thank you very much once again. Congratulations on the conference down in Canberra, Converge 2024. Huge success and hearing your feedback. This is our sector, and we're yarning on one of the vehicles that drive in the sector, Bummer Bipper National Talk Black. Thank you for your yarn, my brother. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll be in touch, eh?
Yeah, and it's an honour for Bummer Bipper to have me on there too, deadly, and stay strong. See you, my brother.
See you, bro. Beautiful yarn there. Deadly yarn there. That's Wally Teller, CEO of First Nations Media Australia, and just talking about the media conference that we had down there in Canberra. I didn't attend, unfortunately, but all good. Big shout out to the BBN crew being down there and mingling with all our other mob across this fantastic sector. We're talking print, we're talking television, we're talking radio, social media, all the above. So, look, fantastic, very important space. And like I said, Murray's been doing this show now for 11 years, and it's a voice for our people. And so very important that we do have a national sector. So fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Stay tuned, you mob, and add to the conversation, National Talk Black.
What? Queensland's weather can be unpredictable, and it doesn't plan before it strikes. It won't ask if you have a plan B for kindy pickup, or if your neighbour can check on the dogs. It won't ask if your elderly mum has enough medication, or if your family photos are safe. And it won't ask if your family is ready. Weather doesn't plan, but you can. Search Get Ready Queensland and make your emergency plan online today. Spoken by Jonathan Thurston. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
What is greatness?
It's doing what makes you feel proud. What feels right for right now.
When you can study hands-on, all in. Practical, professional,
personal. When you can learn local and give back to your community. You define your greatness. Find support of teachers who are there for you at TAFE Queensland. Make great happen. RTO 0275.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying, Yarn, I'm strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, Mass National, proud to support GMYPPBC at National Wards. And we're talking about Gungangi Malangupa Yidinji People's Prescribed Body Corporate Aboriginal Corporation. A mouthful, but too deadly, this mob. And they at the, well, if we're talking about Australia's best small employee at the esteemed Australian Training Awards this December. And we have Juliet Stewart on the line from Mass National Queensland, who's state manager, and also Helen Tate, GMYPPBC Aboriginal Corporation Executive Officer. Good morning, ladies. How are we?
Good morning, Trevor. Well, thanks.
Good, fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. Start with you, Helen. Helen Tate, congratulations to your deadly mob there, being named top three finalists for the Australian's Best Small Employee of the Esteem Australian Training Awards this December. Too deadly. Congratulations.
Thanks, Trevor. We appreciate it.
Fantastic. And Juliet, over to you, Mass National Queensland State Manager. Quickly give us a background of Mass National, please.
Thanks, Trev. So at Mass National, we're an Apprentice Connect provider, so we're part of the Interwork group, and we work across Queensland supporting employers, trainees and apprentices through their vocational education pathway.
Fantastic. And so we have these awards, of course, national awards every year?
Yeah, we have them every year. They start in the regions and then progress to the state awards. And the final leg is at the national awards. So this year that's being held in Canberra.
Mm. And for like an organisation like GMY and WPBC to be in the top three finalists, that is an achievement in itself, is it not?
Oh, that's a huge achievement. Yeah, it just shows the caliber of what they're doing, particularly in the conservation management industry.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a huge achievement.
All right, thank you. Fantastic. Over to you, Helen. Now, congratulations, as I mentioned. So give us a bit of background regarding GMY and PPBC, the work that you guys do, how long you've been there as the executive officer, and tell us about the journey.
Thanks, Trav. Hi, everyone. I'm honoured to be the executive officer for the Gungangi Mananggalpa Yidinji People's Prescribed Body Corporate based in Yarrabah. We work in the GMY PBC's determination area south of the community, so from Geelgee south all the way down to the Russell River.
Mm-hmm.
We also, in 2021, we secured funding in partnership with Wet Tropics Management Authority to commence the delivery of the GMY PBC Ranger Program. And during that time, so fast forward to today,
yes,
we've actually now completed over 500 training outcomes, which is a combination of accredited and non-accredited training. So that is through the employment of our rangers. We partner with MAS,
mm-hmm,
and also TAFE Queensland and a range of other partners to deliver a combination of accredited and non-accredited training. So that could be from certificates to first aid training to dive training, which we partner with Experience Co and Marine Parks to deliver. So we now have rangers with Cert 3 in Conservation Ecosystems Management to, they all have remote first aid quals. We also have you know, rangers with coxswains. We have rangers with open water, advanced water, rescue dive, and also dive master qualifications. So we have a broad range of things, and then we have a whole range of non-accredited training that we do with the team to build their skills and capacity to be able to take their work, undertake their work on country safely, which is things like level one crocodile training, and we also do training with Great Barrier Reef Marine Parks Authority, which is the marine stranding training, as well as compliance training. We also work really closely with JCU Trop Water, and we do seagrass monitoring, identification. We also do coral identification, and we've just recently completed a week out on the reef doing our annual reef monitoring program with the Great Reef Sensors. So we do such a broad range of activities, from basic to make sure our staff are safe, inducting them into the workplace safely and everything that they do safely, but also advancing and developing their skills, from basic range of skills all the way up into growing into leadership. So we've also started leadership training programs with our team.
Look, talk about being work ready. Look, fantastic. Congratulations. What I'm picking up, Helen, is creating these fantastic young people with a 12-pronged spear, if you look at it, in regard to targeting their future and going ahead with all these certificates. That in itself performs a strong foundation to build an empire upon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we have fun along the way too.
Don't of course. Worry about Thank that. You. That's right. Exactly. Sign me up, please.
So, Julie, we have a lot of interest with, like, and we obviously get funding support from our partners. So we're funded by the Queensland Indigenous Ranger Program, and we also partner with the Department of Employment, Small Business and Training and to deliver the Skilling Queenslanders for Work Program. And we also partner really closely with the local Workforce Australia provider, which is Woolgoonumbel. So all of our rangers have come have been unemployed, and we've engaged them from the local employment service. Some staff have, you know, that we have in the team were unemployed for a long periods of time, and we've engaged them, and they've actually grown and developed, and some of them now work elsewhere. One of our rangers is now a soldier with the Australian Defence Force. One of our rangers is now working with geobiology and restoring the Great Barrier Reef. So we've got some really positive outcomes and transitional pathways for beyond our ranger program too, which is really cool.
Look, it talks about a team effort and fantastic. And like I said, once again, congratulations. Julie, when you look at something like this platform, you can see why they're in the top three finalists for the national awards. They've got a fantastic system. Everything runs by a system. And this, you could say, is a deadly system.
It's really impressive. And I think Peter Helen talk about all the great outcomes that they've achieved through over the years. I think it's really impressive and really... I'm grateful to be part of part of that journey.
Exactly. And when you look at it, Helen, the work that you're doing, you don't do it for any awards or recognition. You're just striving a platform and creating a pathway for, you could say, well, black successes, and you're doing just that. But it's great to get recognised. Great to get recognised.
Absolutely. Like, we didn't even know about the the regional awards or Queensland awards or training or Australian awards when we started this. It was just that Desbert mentioned it to it, and we applied for the...
Just the BAU, awards. Just BAU.
Yeah, I think last time we spoke, Trev, we were about to head to Brisbane to see if we would win the Queensland awards, which we won, which was incredible, absolutely amazing.
Yes.
And then what happened... We were then, I think every state nominates their own Small Employer of the Year and medium and so on. And so we went up against the seven states in Australia and territories, and we were selected along with Northern Territory and Tasmania. So on next Friday, next week we go down to Canberra, participate in ambassadors workshops for the awards, and we become a part of the alumni, the Australian Training Awards alumni, and we go to the awards night on Friday night to find out whether we'll be coming home with the bronze, silver or gold.
It doesn't matter, you're still winners.
It doesn't matter, we're a winner anyway. Like, to me, it's incredible to achieve this. It was definitely, we never set out to be recognised at this national level, but wow, what a ride it's been, and what an incredible achievement it has been for our rangers, most importantly, empowering them to become a ranger and to be able to undertake their work, and most importantly, what they love best is working on country. So that's why we do what we do.
Well, exactly. Julie, just to paint the picture, Yarra is very strong in their rugby league space as well. When you talk about Yarra, the Seahawks, Well, if you look at what GMYPPBC is doing, they're scoring tries left, right and centre here with the work that they're doing. So it's fantastic in the economy and for these young people to create, like I said, a pathway for their future.
Yeah, absolutely.
You there, Julia?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah, no, so it's really great to see this happening. And look, congratulations, Mass National, for providing such a national award, which is fantastic space in regard to recognition, recognising and acknowledging the work that's being done. But it then also states the fact that whatever the organisation or the companies are doing, they're doing good because the fact they're getting acknowledged nationally. So keep doing what you're doing. We need more successes in this country, and you know, black and white, young and old. But this is a fantastic pathway.
Yeah, thanks Pepper. Yeah, we're really looking forward to next Friday night and seeing the outcome. So best of luck, Helen.
Best of luck, Helen. That's the word from Juliet. Look, great
Thank
talking
you,
with you,
Helen.
Ladies.
We're looking forward to it. We'll keep you posted, Trev.
Please do. Please do. Yes.
It'll be posted everywhere, social media, on how we. The outcome
of
next Friday night. So
fantastic. Well, congratulations to your team and the work that you're doing. It's a team effort. Julia, thank you for your yarn, doing a fantastic job in organising a national awards. And look, you're all winners. Fantastic, Helen. And great yarning with you. Thank you very much, girls.
Thanks so much,
Trevor.
Thanks,
Trevor. Appreciate
your time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn there, and that's Juliet Stewart, Mass National Queensland State Manager, and also yarning with Helen Tate, who's from GMYPPBC, and that's the Gungangi Malangupai Yidinji People's Prescribed Body Corporation, Corporate Aboriginal Corporation, and they've been named top three finalists for Australia's Best Small Employee of the Esteem Australian Training Awards this December. So that's happening next Friday. Fantastic, and as we stated, they are winners anyway. So whether they come back with a bronze, silver, or the gold, either way, they're still winners, and it's great to see. So the work they're doing is fantastic, and creating certified young ones, but also job opportunities, positive outcomes in all different industries. We're talking defence, we're talking tourism industry, we're talking parks and wildlife, all the above. Fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns and Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. To Delhi, Yarn Up Strong, you mob, National Talk Black.
Of our life, mountains and streams, part of our dreams. These are things of our life. Let me tell the people, we are the one. Live our life under the sun. We have got to fight for our rights. We'll be right back.
trees swaying in the breeze. These are things of our life. Mountains and streams, part of our dreams. These are things of our life. Let me tell you people, we are the ones.